Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 5 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Aleph. We continue with the topic of Kibud Av Va'em, the honor, respect, and awe one is to have for his and her parents. Toni Tano Kamedra Nachman. A Tanaic source was stated in the presence of Rav Nachman, Bizman Shodim Mitzayer is Ovevezimo, when a person causes pain to his mother and father, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty proclaims, Yofe Osisi, I did well, Shalodarti Benehem, that I did not dwell amongst them. Shilmoli Darti Benehem, Tsiaruni, had I dwelt amongst them, they would have been the source of pain for me. This statement could be, we'll say, contrasted to with the statement that you find at the bottom of Lamed Omid Beis, where it says, when a person is honoring his mother and father, the Almighty says, it is as if I dwelt amongst them and they honored me. So here you have the contrast of that, that when there is lack of honor and respect shown to parents, so the Almighty reacts in the same way of feeling the pain. As you might notice, we have a triangle marking, one of our series markings. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading, the topic heading combined with structural note, featuring a triangle. And we've written Meimros, we have statements made by various Amoroyim, Shemazkirim, Shashchino Nimseis Lamala Miroshenu. The theme here is that the divine presence is above our heads. In other words, a man should be aware at all times that he is in the presence of the divine, of the Almighty. The Gemara, Omar Rav Yitzchok, Kol ha'oiver avera b'seser, he who violates sins in private. Tosfos adds, making the assumption that he could overcome his evil inclination, but he resolves to yield to that evil inclination, but he does so in secret, thinking that, well, no one sees me. And when a person behaves in that fashion, thinking that no one sees him, the no one includes the Almighty. Therefore, he who sins in private, ki'ilu dochek raglei shechina, it's as if he's pushing aside the feet of the divine presence. Shinemar, now the posuk that's going to be cited shows how the feet, so to speak, of the divine presence is here in our world. So he who sins is pushing away those divine feet. It goes without saying that all of this, the analogies in reference to various limbs in the context of the Almighty are for, let's say, illustrative purposes only. There is much more depth. Of course, you're dealing with the Almighty that doesn't have a body form, a physical form, as we relate to things. But nevertheless, in order to communicate ideas, these human forms are used. The Gemara continues. Shenemar koyomar Hashem hashamayim kisi va'oretz hadom ragloi. The heavens are my seat and the earth is my footstool. So then, in the analogy, you see the feet of the Almighty, so to speak, appear in oretz. And someone who sins in private is pushing away, is denying the divine presence here in this world as well. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, also the Odom Shalech Arba Amos Bekoim Mizukufa, it's forbidden for a person to walk even four Amos in an erect, upright, haughty posture. Shenemar Melo Cholaretz Kevodo, the Almighty's presence and honor fills the entire world. So who is it for man to walk in a haughty posture which would counter the fact that the Almighty's honor fills the world? It's a question of, is it my honor versus the Almighty's honor? And walking in a haughty position is one is promoting his own honor at the expense, so to speak, of the honor of the Almighty that really fills the world. Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua lo maski arba amos begilui harosh. Rav Huna's practice was not to walk even four amos with an exposed head. His head would be covered, a hat, a yarmulke, or a turban, or whatever. But the covering of the head symbolized Omar Shechino Lamala Meroshi. There is the divine presence above me. Shoal ben Almono Achas es Rebbe Eliezer. The son of a widow. No, so that you can see that we have someone that is going to be asking a question that does not have a father. So this orphaned from father individual asks Rebbe Eliezer, Abba Oimer Hashkini Mayim V'Ima Oimeres Hashkini Mayim Eze Mehem Kodem. If father asks, bring me a drink of water, and mother asks, bring me a drink of water, who has precedence? Who should I serve first? Omar lo le, so Rebbe Eliezer said, Hanoch kvod imcha vase kvod avicha. Put aside for the moment your mother's honor and fulfill your father's wishes and his honor. Shata v'imcha chayovim b'kvod avicha. Not only you, but your mother as well, are obligated to honor your father. Bo lifnei Rabbi Yeshua, that same ben almona came with the to Rabbi Yeshua, Omar lo kach, and Rabbi Yeshua answered him that same way, the same way as Rabbi Lozer. So you have this ben almona asking his question, and Rabbi Yeshua answering the same way as Rabbi Lozer. Omar lo. Now this fatherless child continues and asks, Rebbe, nisgar shomahu. My mother, let us say, was divorced by my father. And at that point, my mother is not obligated in honoring my father. And the two have asked for a drink. Who should I give the water to first? Omar le. So Rabbi Yeshua, in a rather perceptive mode, says, Mibain rise einecha, from between your eyelashes, nikar, it's visible, it's noticeable, sheben almona ato, you are a son of a widow, a fatherless individual. So that the question you're asking me, as if it's a real question, you make reference to your father, or as he says, my father divorced my mother, but you don't have a father. So, and I see that, how do I know that you don't have a father? Because the eyelashes that are referred to in the Gemara, Mibain Risei Einecha, when a person is involved with intense mourning and crying, they fall out. So, he appeared as one who had experienced bereavement, and Rabbi Yeshua picked up on that, and as a result, he says, Hatel Lohen Mayim B'Seifel, take the water and put it in a cup, v'kakea lohem ketarnagolim, and cackle like chickens, and whichever one of them wants to come to get that water first, let them come and get it. He was answering him in a somewhat offhanded fashion. As Rashi says, he answered him b'loshon tzchok, because the way the question was posed, He posed the question as if it's, we call halacha lemaisa, a real question, when it couldn't be a real question. After all, he didn't have a father anymore. Asking it in such a way that didn't represent reality gave rise to Rabbi Yeshua's response to him in this offhanded fashion. Dorash Ula Rabba Apischa Debe Nesia. We have a new marking, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei / Mivne heading. The bow tie is featured, and we've written on the side Shnei Hoi Chochois De Mehoi Fa'asa Shel Mitzvahs Kibra Ve'em Yadu Umoisa'ilam La'arich Dibros Rishonos Anochi Velo Yeloch. Two proofs in the Gemara that when the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, the commandment of honoring father and mother, appeared, that demonstrated to the nations of the world that the first two commandments are pure and without any, let's say, personal interest on the part of the Almighty for self aggrandizement, for self for self-interest. The thrust of the Gemara is as follows: when the nations of the world became aware of the first two commandments, I am the God that took you out of Egypt, and you shall have no other gods. So people said, well, this is a God that's self-interested, that it's the Torah and all that is contained therein is for his own personal glorification. But then, when they became aware of the fifth commandment, that the same God is commanding respect and honor your father and mother, so this is a God that's not interested in his own glory for his own selfish purposes, to put things in human terms, but ultimately the Torah is a book of instruction for a person's maximum well-being. The Gemara. Dorash Ula Rabo, Apischa Debe Nesia. Ula Rabo taught at the entrance of the Nasi's house. Nasi was the leader of the Jewish people at that time. Mai Dichtiv Yoducho Hashem Kol Malchei Eretz Kishamu Imrei Ficha. The Gemara focuses on the grammatical element of this pasuk. Imrei picha is the teachings in the plural form. Maimor picha lo nemar. It doesn't say that the nations of the world admitted, because they heard his individual teaching, but rather it's teachings in the plural. Imrei ficha. So maimer picha lo nemar elo imrei ficha. Minimum plural is two. B'shah shomar kodesh baruch hu anoichi v'lo yelecha. When the Almighty proclaimed the first two of the Ten Commandments, which were, they're essentially, we'll say, God-centered. Omru umo yisoylam. So the nations of the world, the idolatrous nations of the world, said, well, lichvoid atzmahu doresh. This God is seeking out his own personal respect and glory. Kevan Shomar, however, when he said, Kabed es avicha v'simecha, the same God is demanding of his subjects to honor their parents, Chozru v'hodu l'mamoro surishonos. They then conceded that the first teachings, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelocha Elohim Achirim, the two commandments that I am your God that took you out of Egypt and you shall have no other God forms, are not commandments for the Almighty in seeking his own glory. And as we said before, the Torah is a Torah as a book of truth. It's a book of divine wisdom in how man will best maximize his sojourn in this world. And those two first commandments as well are part of the that general scheme. And that they were able to see when the fifth commandment was taught, Kabed es avicha v'simecha. And as a result, then they, as the pasuk says, Yoducha Hashem kol malchiretz, the malchiretz, the kings of the world, concede to you that you have presented a Torah, which is a book of truth. And that they were able to do when they heard the fifth commandment. And with the fifth commandment, they then admitted and conceded that the Imre Picha, the first two commandments, are also part of that general scheme of things. Rava Omar Mehocha. Rava cites another pasuk to convey this point. Roish Devorcha Emes. Literally, the beginning of your teachings are true. So the Gemara asks, or Rava points out, Rosh Dvorcha Velo Sof Dvorcha, what only the beginnings of your teachings are true and not the end. Ela Misof Dvorcha, from the end or the continuation of your words, and specifically the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, Nikar, it became noticeable, kind of obvious, Sherosh Dvorcha Emes, that your first words, the first two commandments, are also truth and not a glory-seeking, selfish, self-centered God. We have a new marking, the house form, and on the side of the under the Nosei / Mivne heading, we have, you can see the house form is featured, Ad Heichon Kibud Av V'Em, the issue of how far need one go to fulfill this mitzvah. A double underline will appear, Maisim Hagoi Doma Ben Nesino. The Gemara will feature incidents involving this particular non-Jew, Doma Ben Nesino by name, who serves as a model individual with respect to the fulfillment of this precept, this commandment of honoring one's parents. Now the Gemara. Bo'u minei meirav ula. The question was asked of Ula, Ad heichon kibud av v'em. What's the extent? How far does one need to go in order to fulfill this mitzvah? Amar lahem, so Rav Ula said, Se'u uru, ma osa oivit kichov v'mechod ba'ashkelon. Go and see what this particular idol worshipper in the city of Ashkelon did, V'doma ben Nesino shmo, and his name is Doma ben Nesino. There was an occasion that the Chachomim were seeking merchandise and willing to pay shishim ribo. Shishim is 60, ribo is 10,000. So you're talking about 600,000 units of money. If you like, just to make it easy, $600,000. And the key to the warehouse was under the pillow upon which his father was sleeping. In other words, the key was simply under his head. Now, we mentioned $600,000. Rashi says, Shishim ribo schar hoya mistakir bo shishim ribo dinar ezov. 600,000 gold dinar coins. Suffice it to say, a lot of money. And what happened? Velotzi aro. This Doma ben Nesino did not wake up his father, did not pain his father in getting the key in order to experience all of that profit. So he forfeited, or he passed up on that great opportunity in order to honor his father. Omar of Yudah Mar Shmuel, Shalu es Rabbi Lezer, Ad Heichon Kibud Av V'Em. The same question was posed to Rabbi Lezer. How far do we go with this mitzvah? Omar Lehem Tzuru, Ma'osa V'Kehomechad Aviv Bashkelon, V'Doma Ben Nesino Shmo, Bikshu Mimenu Chachomim Avonim Le'efod. It was on an occasion that the sages, the rabbis, turned to Doma Messina for a particular stone, avonim, stones for the Kohen Gadol's garment, the ephod, the garment on which the on which there were precious stones, as the Torah dictates, and they were willing to pay b'shishim ribos har. It would have this purchase would have meant Doma ben Asina receiving or profiting 600,000 gold coins. Rav Kana Masni, Rav Kana is a different version. How much profit there would have been? B'shmoinim ribo, 800,000. V'yamavtech munach tachas mershosu shalofiv v'lo tziaro. And the key to get into the safe where these coins, where these stones were kept, the key was under his father's head when his father was sleeping, and he did not wake him up. Lishon Acheres, this is a this, these diamonds represent stages in the story. So this is the second stage. Lishon Acheres, a year later, Nosan Hakadosh Baruch Hu Schoro, the Almighty saw to it that this Doma ben Nesina would receive his due reward. Shenolda lo paraduma beedro, a red heifer was born in his herd of cows. Nifnesu chachomim etzlo, the sages who at that time needed a red heifer for its ashes, for producing the ash water mixture for the purification of those defiled to the dead, and they approached him, Omar Lahem, and he said to the sages, Yodea ani bochem shim ani mevakish mikem kol momon sheba'olam atem noistim li. I know that whatever price I would ask for the Por Aduma, you would pay it. Elo ein ani mevakish mikem elo oisim momon shifsadeti b'shul kvod abo. But all I am requesting from you is that amount that I lost the previous year, the previous experience, because of my respect for my father. V'omar Rabbi Chanina, and continuing on this story, Rabbi Chanina notes, Uma mi she'enu mitzuva v'oise kach. Mind you, the idol worshipper who has mitzvahs that he's obligated to fulfill, but the mitzvah of honoring parents is not one of the seven Noahide laws. So he, in honoring his parents, was doing so on his own volition, not because he was commanded. And we have a principle that you'll see in a minute in the Gemara, that greater is one who fulfills commandments when commanded to do so, more so than one who does so voluntarily. So Rabbi Chanina says, look at this. Here you have someone that's not commanded, and yet he fulfilled this precept of honoring one's parents, and look at the reward he got. Mitzuva v'yoysa alhas kama v'kama, someone who's commanded and fulfills, all the more so. Di'omer Rabbi Chanina, godol mitzuva v'yoysa, mimi sheino mitzuva v'yoysa, greater is the one who is commanded and fulfills, more so than the one who is not commanded and fulfills. The reason for that is manyfold. There are different explanations as to why we say this. Tosfos has an explanation. He says on the upper part of the Tosfos commentary, Godol mitzuv hamitzuv yoisa nira dahainu taimo demisha mitzuv yoisa odif. It appears to Tosfos why he was commanded and fulfills is considered greater. Lefisha doyeg umitztayer yoiser pen yavor. He's concerned that he shouldn't end up in violation, so he's very diligent in making sure that he fulfills all the details of that particular mitzvah. Mimi she'eno mitzvah, as opposed to one who's not commanded, meaning if he's not commanded and he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety, he hasn't lost out on anything. She'esh lo pas pesalo, he's got his bread in his basket, so to speak. She'im yirtzei yaniach, if he should want, he can leave the mitzvah aside altogether. He's got his security in the sense of even without fulfilling it, he's done nothing wrong. Another explanation that I have seen is that when someone is commanded to do something, the evil inclination comes forward and tries to convince the person, don't do it. Don't do what you Don't do what you're obligated to do. As opposed to someone who is not obligated, so he doesn't have to overcome any evil inclination. Evil inclination isn't even starting up with him. So greater is the one who fulfills a mitzvah when he's commanded to, in the sense that he fulfilled it by overcoming, by subduing his evil inclination. So that's worthy of more praise than someone who didn't have to encounter and overcome the hurdle of an evil inclination. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. We have to note that Rav Yosef was a person who was blind. And there's an approach to those who are blind that says that they're not obligated to fulfill various mitzvahs. The concept of summa poter mina mitzvahs. And Rav Yosef was blind, and he says as follows, and you'll note we have a long marking, Omer Rav Yosef, Meresh, at first, Hava Amino, I used to think, Man da Hava Omer li, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Omer summa poter mina mitzvahs, he would rule, like Rabbi Yehuda, that a summa, that a blind person is exempt from mitzvahs, Avidna Yomatova l'rabbonan. I would make a holiday for the rabbis out of joy for such a ruling. Daha lo mifkidna. Here I'm blind. I'm therefore not commanded. Daha avidna. Nevertheless, I do fulfill mitzvahs. Hashtu de shamisa laha d'yom Reb Chanina. Godo mitzuv yoyse misheino mitzuv yoyse. Now that I have discovered Rabbi Chanino's teaching that greater is the one who is commanded and fulfills, more so than he was not commanded and fulfills. Adarabba, now to the contrary, Mandamali the Ain Halacha Kribita, he who would rule that the Halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda, namely, who would rule that a summa, that a blind person, is obligated in fulfillment of mitzvahs, Avidna Yomatova L'Rabbonan. Now, only then would I declare a holiday, being that the Halacha wouldn't follow Rabbi Yehuda, then I, as a blind man, am obligated, and as a result, I fall under the category of Godol Mitzuva V'yose. Ki oso Ravdimi Omar, Pam Achas Hoyo Lovush Sukun Shel Zov. Ravdimi tells us about another incident involving Doma ben Nesina, that he was once clothed in a sirkon shel zav. Rashi says sirkon is a lavush, a some type of garment, and he quotes then a French word for it. So for our purposes, it's the name of a particular garment, and it had a gold embroidery on it. Very, very valuable article of clothing. For Yoshe ben Deli Romi, and Doma ben Nesina was seated amongst the elite of Rome. Ubosso Imo, and his mother came, Vikoroso Mimenu, Vitofholo Al Rosho, Vyorkolo Bufonov, Velo Hichlimo. And his mother, Rashi says that Rashi's Tosfos quotes a Medrash that says that his mother was insane. Whatever the case is, she came and she ripped off this expensive garment from her son. She hit him on the head, and she spit in front of him, and he did not embarrass her. He did not show any disrespect. Toni Avimi Bre de Rabbi Avo. Avimi, the son of Rabbi Avo, teaches the following source. Yesh, and the source will appear in a riddle form, and looking at the Tosfos over here and Rashi on Omid Beis share more background in order to appreciate this source and unravel the riddle. The source says Yesh Machilov Pisuni V'Todim Olam. You can have a son that feeds his father Pisuni. Pisuni is some type of pheasant meat very expensive meat for our purposes, and he, by doing so, he's cast out of this world. In other words, he's severely punished. V'yesh matchino berechayim, and you can have a son that causes his father to operate a grindstone. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, umavio lechaye hoel mabo, and that request or that action of the son causing his father to operate a grindstone actually is will be the reason for eventually receiving great reward in the world to come. If we were to leave the source as is, it would appear to be an enigma. In order to clarify, to explain, to offer sense to this source, we look at Rashi together at the top line. Umavio lo olam haba shemechabdo bedvoroi dvorim toivim inechumim v'mlocho mati olo b'loshin raka. A son who requests of his father to operate the grindstone, but he does so in a beseeching, a warm, comforting fashion. Mariloi tzurcha shaw, he shows his father how it's so necessary for that father to operate the grindstone. Sheinun yuchilim sparnes elo b'giyazu, that the family cannot maintain support unless the father exerts himself. That's a simple explanation with, we'll say, general appeal. Uva Gemara's Yerushalmi Goras, the Yerushalmi Talmud has a version concerning this source, Maisa Bishnehem, a story involving these two, the two that were described in the source. Maisa Be'echot Shoyamachil of Pesuni. It's an incident that there was a son feeding his father this expensive pheasant meat. Pamachas Omer Lo'aviv. On one occasion, the father's curiosity was aroused, and he asked his son, Me'ayin Lucho Kol Eile, from where do you have all of this? Omar Lo, so the son said, Sabo, old man, Ma'ach Basla, what do you care? Tchon Vechol. Klomar, by saying tchon means you grind and eat, means Lois Vechol. Just chew and eat your food. Her'eu shekoshaloi. The son was showing how he was it was difficult for him to answer his father, to respect his father. V'shuv ma'ase be'echad shoyatoich berachayim. It was an incident involving someone who was operating a grindstone. It's very work intensive activity. And v'hoyalo av zokein, and he had an elderly father. V'sholach hamelech b'shvil oviv lavo l'avoides hamelech, and a telegram came from the royal palace summoning the old man, the elderly father, to the king's service. And the king's service was a very difficult task to fulfill. It was open-ended. You would be drafted into the king's service for an unlimited amount of time. Omar lo beno, the son, upon noticing that the father was summoned to the king's workforce, the son said, Abba tchon, you operate the grindstone, vani eilech tachtech levedus hamelech, I'll go in place of you to the king's workforce. She'ein lo kitzvot, has no fixed time limit to it. No fixed amount of time and energy and toil that's involved. So the son, by asking his father to operate the grindstone, was saving his father from a much more arduous task that would have been much more taxing, and conceivably, if he was an old man, could have been actually fatal. And hence, asking one's father to operate the grindstone was the reason for this son to merit the world to come. At the bottom of Omer Aleph, we saw Avimi as the one who introduce this particular source. Amar Rabbi Avo, we should note we have a triangle marking on the side under the Nosei / Mivneh. We indicate that the triangle introduces Maisim u'Meimros HaKshuim L'Kibud Av V'Em, stories and various statements that have as a common theme Kibud Av V'Em, the respect due to father and mother. So Rabbi Avo reports, Kagon Avimi Bri Kayem Mitzvahs Kibud. My son Avimi fulfills the mitzvah of Kibud Av. And we mentioned Avimi was featured at the bottom of Omer Aleph as Avimi, the son of Rabbi Avo, who introduced that Tanaic source. The father, namely Rabbi Avo, says it's only so appropriate that that Avimi quoted that source. He is one that fulfills mitzvahs Kibud Av. Chamisha boni samchi havale lavimi b'chai oviv. Avimi had five sons that had received rabbinic ordination, indicating they're adult sons. So Rabbi Avo has five grandchildren that were ordained rabbis. V'chi hava osa Rabbi Avo kori abova, when Rabbi Avo would come to visit his son, knock at the door, rohit v'ozil uposachle, Avimi, the son, ran to open the door, v'yomar in, and he's saying, yes, I'm opening the door, I'm coming to open the door. Ad demotoi hosam, he would say, I'm coming, until he actually opened the door. Yumochad omar le, one day, Rabbi Avo asked, Ashken Maya, would you give me a drink? Ad aisi le nimneim, by the time Rabbi Avo, by the time Avimi came with the water, Rabbi Avo dozed off. Gochin koi ole ad iser. Avimi hovered over his father until he woke up. Istaya milse, he had divine assistance in his while he was hovering over his father. Vidorash Avimi, and Avimi was able to explain the chapter of Tehillim beginning with the pasuk Mizmor LaOsof. There are two explanations in Rashi as to what he accomplished at that particular point. Rashi says, "Istaya milsa, but odegach in the fun of shaven b'medrash mizmor echad shebesef tilim shloya mevin bo kodim lochein ledorsho." There was a medrash, an oral Torah teaching concerning this particular chapter of Tehillim that he did not understand until that moment, so that the light bulb went on, so to speak, over his head while he was hovering over his father, and it all of a sudden became clear what that medrash was saying. The Eish Meforshim, a second approach in Rashi, Shemikros Elavado Dorash, the posuk itself, not the chapter with the medrash, but rather the posuk itself, Mizmor LaOsof Elokim Bo Goyim Benachlasecha V'chulei. The posuk says that here's a song of joy. Mizmor indicates a song of joy regarding the Goyim, the nations that came to plunder and destroy the Beis Hamikdash. How can you say a song of joy concerning the destruction of the temple? Kina LaOsof Mibale, a dirge of Osof would have been more appropriate. V'dorash kach, and Avimi explained Shomar Osof Shiro al Shekila Gishbroch Mosu Beitzim Avonim, that Osof, who is the author of that particular chapter, was singing a song of praise, of joy, that the Almighty carried out His wrath Beitzim Avonim Shebeveso, on the wood and stones that constituted the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Omitoch kachen, because the Almighty had a way of venting His wrath on the physical structure of the temple, as a result of that, hoysir pleita b'Yisrael, there remained survivors of the Jewish people. The Jewish people continued. Shel molei kach, if not for that, if there wasn't this alternative avenue for the Almighty to vent His wrath, Lo nishtayim yisrael yisrael sorid. There would have been nothing left. And here Rashi speaks in using a euphemism. The enemies of Israel, when referring to Israel itself, there would have been no one that would have remained. V'cheinu omer, and likewise it says, Kilo Hashem es chamosoi, vayatzes eish b'tzion. This is in Perek Dalet, Posuk Yud Aleph of Echa, the Book of Lamentations, where it says the Almighty carried out his wrath, finished off his wrath, and that was done through the burning of Zion. And as we said, through that, the Jewish people had were salvaged, were saved from what would have otherwise been their own permanent destruction. So there's an element of joy, of song, in this pasuk. We continue in the Gemara. Omar le Rav Yankiv bar Avua l'Abaye. Rav Yankiv says to Abaye, Kigon ano de'ada sino mi bei Rav. I have a question. I have a quandary. Someone like myself, that by the time I come to my home from the bei Rav, from the yeshiva where I study Torah, Abo magli li kosovimo mazgo li. My father fills up a cup of beverage for me, and my mother fills up a cup for me. Hechi avid, from whom should I take the drink? Omale. So Abaye answers, Meimcho kabil mivucho lo tekabil. Take the drink from your mother, not from your father. Dekeva de bar Torah, who, since your father is a Torah scholar, chol shadai tehol, have a feeling, an ill feeling that he is serving carrying out an act of servitude to his son. It would be, say, beneath his dignity, even though he is in fact offering you the drink. But by accepting from your mother and not from your father, you're enabling him, your father, who's a Torah scholar, to preserve his sense of dignity. Rabbi Tarfon have lei hahi imo. Rabbi Tarfon had a mother, the chol emas da havis boyis lemesak lepurio, whenever she needed to arise upon her bed, to go up onto her bed, gochin vesolik lo. He, Rabbi Tarfon, who was one of the greatest Torah scholars of all time, would bend over to serve as a type of stool on which she would climb up to her bed. She would climb up, step on his back, and then into her bed. V'chol emas dehavis nochis nachtis iluyon. Whenever she needed to get off the bed, the same thing. Also, v'chol mishtabich bei midrash. She came and praised her son in the beis medrash, that he is a wonderful son who fulfills in the maximum way the mitzvah of kibud aim. Amri le, they said to him, they said about him, adayin lo higato l'chatzi kibud. They said to him, you haven't reached even half the mitzvah of kibud aim. Klum zoker arniki b'fanecho liyam v'lo hichlimisa. Did she ever throw a wallet of money into the sea and you remained quiet? There are those that explain why is it that they downplayed Rabbi Tarfon's exemplary fulfillment of the mitzvah of kibud aim. The explanation is along the following lines. People are created and have a certain purpose, a certain divine purpose in this world, a certain mitzvah, a certain attribute to fulfill to their maximum, and when they accomplish that, their role in this world is finished and it's time for them to depart. The rabbis were afraid that Rabbi Tarfon's role in this world was to fulfill in a maximum way the mitzvah of kibud aim. having accomplished that, then it would have been his time to go. So they declared that, nope, you haven't even reached half of Kibbutz Eim, thereby lending him an extended lease on life in order to ultimately fulfill that, if that happened to be his role in this world. There's a Tosfos that is something that we'll look at together. The last Tosfos, Rabbi Tarfon Havi Le'Imo, Yesh B'Yerushalmi, there's a, it's taught in the Yerushalmi Talmud, Pamachas Imei de Rabbi Tarfon of the Pazmiki Dida B'Chatzera. On one occasion, his mother, Rabbi Tarfon's mother, lost her Pazmiki in her courtyard, V'yosa Mimitosa Levaksho, and she was getting off her bed to seek out where is her Pazmiki, that particular article that she was seeking. V'som Rabbi Tarfon Yodoi Tachas Ragleo Ala Karka, and Rabbi Tarfon put his hand on the floor that she would walk on his hands while seeking out her Pazmiki. Shalititane Fragleo V'isadiresis Al Yodov, so as not to have her feet become dirtied or soiled by the floor, he saw to it that she would walk on his hands, thereby preserving her cleanliness. The Oid Isa Yerushalmi, another story involving Kibud Eim, the Ime de Rabbi Shmuel, the mother of Rabbi Yishmael, another one of the great Tanoim of our Torah, called Shaita V'Shaita, the Hava'osi Rabbi Shmuel Mibay Midrasha. Whenever he returned from the yeshiva, from the Torah study center, Hoysa Rochetzes Es Raglov, she would wash his feet, Hoysa Shoises Hamayim, and she would then drink that water. Kesheshoma Rabbi Shmuel Shehoysa Oysa Kach, when Bishmuel heard that she drank that water, obviously she wasn't drinking the water in front of him, but when he got word of it that she was drinking that water that she used for washing his feet, Hoye Mesarev B'Dover, he refused to cooperate. Ad Shebos Lefnei Chachomim Oysa Kevelis Av Bishmuel B'No, until she, the mother, came to the rabbis and complained about her son, Shaloya Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibud, that her son did not fulfill the mitzvah of Kibudim. V'nivalu Chachomim B'Dover, and they were shocked. How can it be that he doesn't fulfill mitzvahs Kibudim? V'shalom Rabbi Shmuel, and they asked Rabbi Shmuel, your mother says that you don't fulfill Kibudim. V'sipur lehem ha'maiseh, and he told them the story that she was drinking the water that was used to wash his feet. And for Rabbi Shmuel, that was an indignation for his mother to drink that water. V'tzivulo, and the rabbis commanded him, she'anichenu la'aseis ritzoino, leave her be, let her do her will. U'be'inyan zeh hu kibudat, for her is showing her honor. We turn back to the Gemara. Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, when he would hear his mother's footsteps, Omar, he declared, I'm rising in the face of the divine presence that is coming. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ashrei mi shalochom on. Rabbi Yochanan declares something that at first glance sounds surprising or even shocking. Fortunate is the one that never saw his parents. Rashi says, Ashrei mi shelo chomon she'iyav shelikayim kvoidim kechol atzorech v'ne'nash aleihem. It's a type of mitzvah that's practically impossible to fulfill to its fullest extent, and as a result people are punished for not having fulfilled the mitzvah to its fullest extent. So Rabbi Yochanan says that fortunate is the one that didn't have parents, that he didn't have to be subjected to this challenge. Rabbi Yochanan ki abrasu imoi meisaviv. With regard to Rabbi Yochanan himself, when his mother conceived him, his father died. Yoldoso, and at the point that his mother gave birth to him, meisa imo, his mother herself died. V'chein Abaye, and the same with regard to Abaye, he too never saw his parents. The Gemara asks, "Eini v'omer Abaye omer liheim." We have throughout the Shas where Abaye quotes his mother, where he says, "Omra li aim, mother told me." The Gemara says it wasn't his mother though. Hahi marbinsei havoy. It was his nanny, his foster mother, that he was quoting. Rav Asi havale ahi imo zekena. Rav Asi had an elderly mother, Omra le, and she had numerous requests. Boino tachshiten, I want jewelry. Avad lo, he provided it for her. Boino gavro, I want to remarry. I want a husband. Na'ayin loch, and he said, well, I'll look into it. Boino gavro de shapir kavosoch, I want a husband that is as handsome as you are. So Rav Asi realized that she's making requests that he can't even fulfill. Shofka v'ozo l'aro d'Yisrael. So he left and came to Israel. He left Bovel, where he lived, and came to settle in Eretz Yisrael. Shoma d'ka'ozla abasrei. He heard that she was coming after him. Also l'kamir Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi approached Rabbi Yochanan, who was the leading sage of that time in Eretz Yisrael. Omar le ma'u lotzeis me'oretz l'chutz l'aretz. He asked Rabbi Yochanan a question, a halacha question. Is it permissible to leave Israel to go to the diaspora? Omar le oser. Rabbi Yochanan says it is oser to leave the land of Israel. Once you've settled in Israel, even if you've come, not only if you were born in Israel, but even if you've come from outside Israel and settled in Israel, it is forbidden to leave Israel. Rav Asi asks, Likras imo mahu? What about to leave in order to greet my mother? Omar le eini yodea. When the question of leaving Eretz Yisrael is arises in order to fulfill another mitzvah, in this case the mitzvah of greeting your mother, then Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't know. Israch purta hodar also. Israch means he waited a while, purta a little while, and came again and presented the issue to Rabbi Yochanan. Omar le, Rabbi Yochanan says, Asi nisratzis lotzeis, you have resolved to leave Israel. Hamokom yazir l'shalom, may it be the will of the Almighty that he return you in peace. Also lekame to Rabbi Lozer. Rav Asi then approached Rabbi Lozer, another one of the great sages of that time. Omar le, Rav Asi presented his quandary to Rabbi Lozer. Chas v'shalom dilma mirsach rosach, is it possible that, heaven forbid, Rabbi Yochanan is enraged? Omar le, Mayar Malach. So Rabbi Lozer said, well, what did he say to you? Omar le, Rav Asi said, Hamokom yachzir chol shalom. He says that may it be the will of the Almighty that I come back in peace. Omar le, so Rabbi Lozer said, Vim Isa de Rosach, if it were so that he was wrathful, enraged at you, lo havim mevorachov, he wouldn't have uttered a blessing. Adahochi vochi, in the meantime, Shoma la'arona de ka'asi. Rav Asi heard that his mother, yes, she was coming, but in a coffin. Omar, Rav Asi said, I yadi, had I known that she was coming in a coffin, that my leaving Eretz Yisrael was not for the purpose of greeting her, my living mother, but rather to accompany a coffin that was coming to Israel, lo nafki, I would not have left Israel. You see diamonds appearing On the side of the Gemara under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, the diamonds introduce Brisos, Bohen, Mefuratos, Ilchis, Kibud, Umura, Avim. We detailed in these sources halachas that concern the laws of honoring and fearing one's parents. Tonu Rabbonon, Mechabdo b'chayav u'mechabdo b'moso. Honor is shown when the parent is alive and also after they're gone. B'chayav ketzad, you'll notice we have a double underline to highlight these two scenarios. How does one show the respect in their lifetime? Hanishma b'davar aviv lamokom. This phrase I found to be a bit obscure, so we go look immediately at Rashi. A few lines up from here, Rashi says, "Hanishma b'davar aviv lamokom imakir ba'anshei hamokom." If a person notices or recognizes that the locals shemechabdim aviv lachlik lekovid lekabel dvorim shiyomer b'shmo, the locals will honor and respect things that are said in the name of the father. Al yitle hakovid ba'atzmo, a person should not try to have the honor accorded to himself. Afilu dea shiyachabdu ke'aviv, even if he knows that they will honor him the same as they would have honored his father. El yitle hakovid ba'aviv, rather ascribe the honor to your father. And now we'll see an illustration in the source itself. So the source tells us, "Hanishma b'dover b'dvar oviv l'mokom lo yomar." A person who's aware that the locals will respect one's father, he should not say the following: "Shalchuni b'shvil atzmi," send me for my own sake. If it's a matter of being sent on a mission, send me for my sake, or meharuni b'shvilatzmi, hasten for me, patruni b'shvilatzmi, release me for my own sake, ela kulhu b'shvil abba. But all of these requests, you should say, for father. Rashi says, shachuni b'shvil abba, shehu tzorach li, send me on my way because father needs me. Aval im einoi nishma lemokim b'dvar aviv ki dvar atzmo, if however he wouldn't be heeded because of his father as much as because of himself, al yitle b'aviv, then don't ascribe your needs to your father, she'eino lo elo genai, then it would be an insult. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Moisoi Ketzad, Hoya Oimer Dovar Shmua Mipiv. If a person is saying something in his father's name, Lo Yomar Kach Omar Abo, he shouldn't say, well, this is what my father says. Hello? Or my father said in the past tense, because we're talking about his father having already been dead. Elo Kach Omar Abo Mori Hareni Kaporas Mishkovo. Rather, you say, thusly my father said, and I am to serve as an atonement for my father. The Rashi across from here says, Hareni Kaporas Mishkovo Ola Yovo Kol Ra Horoi Lavo Anafsho. Whatever bad is to be visited upon my father's soul, let it befall me. Vehani mili. This is qualified. This idea that a person quotes his father and adds Hareini Kaporas Mishkovo, that I should be a source of atonement for him, that's true Toch Shneimos Chodesh, within 12 months of the parent's demise. Mikan Veilich, beyond 12 months, Omer, you would say, you would quote your father and say Zichronoi Levrocha L'Chaye Ha'olam Haba. Let his memory be a source of blessing for the life to come. The 12-month idea is that what you had been saying is, let me be a source of atonement for my father for any bad that was going to befall him. Even the wicked of Israel are not judged, are not subjected to pain more than 12 months. So once 12 months go by, there's no need for you to accept on yourself any suffering that would otherwise have come to father when it wouldn't have been so after 12 months. Tanu Rabbanan, Chacham Mishane Shem Aviv V'Shem Raboi. The style of Torah lectures that you find throughout the Shas is a Torah scholar would be sitting at the front of an assembly of listeners, and the rabbi himself wouldn't speak in a level of speech that would have been audible to the entire assembly. Rather, there was a gentleman whose role or whose title was a Turgamon. Turgamon is the person that would be what I call the human PA system. He would say the words of the rabbi over in an audible tone for the rest of the assembly. So when the chacham, when the rabbi, the wise, the sage, or the wise man is quoting his father, he wants to say over a point of instruction, point of Torah explanation that he heard in the name of his father, he would not say his father's name. Mishana means change. Mishana shem of v'shem rabo. He, the sage, in communicating to the Turgamon, he would say, thusly says father, my teacher, Abba Mori, without saying the father's name. Turgamon eino mishane, lo shem oviv, lo velo shem rabo. The Turgamon, when he was saying over to the public that which he heard from the sage, he wouldn't say oviv shel hachocham, he would say that father's actual name. And say that if the sage was David ben Moshe, David the son of Moses, so the Turgamon was saying over that particular point of teaching that David had heard from his father Moshe, the Turgamon would say, and Moshe says thus and thus. He would say the actual name of the Chacham's father or the Chacham's teacher. The explanation we just gave is the final explanation of the Gemara. However, the Gemara, when seeing this source, has to clarify what is meant. It said in the source, the Turgamon eino mishane lo shem oviv velo shem rabo. So here the Gemara says, avua deman, the father of whom does the Turgamon not have to change, alter the name, but rather can use the person's name himself. If you were to think that it's the father of the Turgamon himself, is the Turgamon himself not obligated to respect his own father? Certainly, he wouldn't be able to say over whatever teaching is using his father's name. A person is not to say over his parents' name. So the source, when it says Turgamon eino mishana lo shem oviv velo shem rabo, elo maravo shem oviv shel chacham v'shem rabo shel chacham, the chacham, the sage's father's name or the sage's teacher's name need not be altered or changed by the Turgamon when the Turgamon is quoting the chacham's father. Kiha demor bar Ravashi, and here's an illustration, like the incident involving Mor, the son of Ravashi, kiha v'dorish bepirka, when he was issuing a public lecture, ihu omar, he, that's Mor bar Ravashi, would say, Abba Mori, the Amore is the Meturgamon, who was saying it over to the public, he would say, Hachi omar Ravashi, thusly says Ravashi. So when Mor bar Ravashi said over that particular teaching that he heard from his father, he would say, Abba Mori taught me X, Y, and Z. When the Turgamon would say that teaching over to the public, you would say, Rav Ashi says X, Y, and Z. Tanu Rabbanan, Ezu Moira Vezu Kibud. How does one fulfill Moira? The pasuk says, Ish of Vima Vimo Ti Ra'u, Yirah. And how does one fulfill Kavod? Moira is Lo Eimei Bimkaimai. One should not stand where his father usually stands. V'lo yoshe b'kamo, not to sit in the seat that his father usually occupies. V'lo soser estvorov, not to contradict what his father says. V'lo machri'o. And Rashi at the bottom line says, V'lo machri'o im hoya ovi v'chocha macher chalukim b'dvar alocha. If one's father and another scholar were in disagreement over a matter of law, lo yomar nirim divrei ploni, the son should not take a stand, say, well, I think one side or the other, shouldn't get involved. So from Rashi it would appear he doesn't get involved saying I agree with what my father says, nor would he, or certainly he would not be the one to say I agree with what my father's opponent is saying. Rather, the son should stay out of it. That is, so we just described, we saw in the source, 4 points that constitute Moira. Kibud, what constitutes Kibud Av. Machil, Mashke, give to eat and drink. Malbish, Umechase, to give clothing and to give covering. Umachnis, Umotzi, to enable to enter and enable to go out, to accompany him in and accompany him out. Ibayalaho. A Gemara raises a question that continues at the top of the Lamed Beis. Michel Mi. When we speak about the son having to feed and give drink to the father, food and drink costs money. Whose money is to be pay, is to pay for the father's food and drink? Rav Yehuda Omar, Michel Ben, the son, out of his own pocket, he has to pay for his father's maintenance costs. Rav Nosson Baroshi Omar, Michel Av. Rav Nosson says it's from the father's monies. Father has a retirement fund, a bank account, so the son draws from that in order to support his father. Orule Rabbonon Rav Yirmiyah. The Rabbonon ruled to Rav Yirmiyah Yamilah Lebraid Rav Yirmiyah. Another version is to Rav Yirmiyah's son, Kemander Mimishal Av, like the opinion of Rav Nosson Baroshaya, that the mitzvah of Kiburav, Machilo Mashke Mashkeu, is from funds belonging to the father. As you can see, a new marking appears, a trapezoid or volcano shape. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, the shape appears in two directions, sometimes the narrow facing up and sometimes the narrow part facing down. These are Mekoros L'Shnei HaKivunim. These are sources the Gemara will present in both directions, one indicating, like Rav Yehuda said, that the funds are from the son's pocket, and other sources, like Rav Nosson, that it's from the father's pocket. The dashed underline will introduce the expression V'Amris Michel, and then the squiggle underline will highlight which parent, which one, son or father. So the first first volcano shape will be in the direction of showing that it's Michel Ben, and the when you see the next one, the inverted house volcano shape, that will be in order to show that it's Michel Av. The Gemara. Meisvei indicates a question, but it's a question on one of the opinions. We have two divergent opinions, one saying Michel Ben, one Shmuel Av. So we're going to question on one of those opinions. Ne'emar kabed es avich v'simecha. One pasuk says, you shall show kavod to your father and mother. V'ne'emar kabed es Hashem mehonecha. Another pasuk says, you shall show honor to the Almighty from your wealth. Ma lahalon b'chisorin kis, just like showing honor to the Almighty involves financial loss, financial depletion. Af kan, so too with regard to honoring parents, b'chisorin kis, there is an element of financial depletion. The amris mishalav, if you were to think that the support of parents is from the father's account, my nafka le mine, where do you see any financial depletion vis-a-vis the son? There's no financial depletion. He's not using his own money. The Gemara says, even if he is using his father's money, labitol malocha, there nevertheless is your own loss of work time. You could have been working, earning money during the time that you're giving your father to eat and drink. So even though that the costs for the food are covered by your father's account, your time is at your own expense. Toshma, shnei achim, shnei shutfin, hoavuvno, horavatamido. Any of these examples, two brothers, two shutfin, two partners, a father and son, a teacher and a student. Poidim ze lo ze meiser sheni. Each one of these could redeem the other one's meiser sheni tithe. The rule is that when one redeems his own tithe, he has to add a fifth. If I come and redeem, transfer the sanctity of your 10% produce, that's called meiser sheni, and I redeem your produce onto my coins, that's an outsider redeeming someone else's produce. There is no adding of the additional fifth of the value of the produce. That's one point. And the second point mentioned, umachilin ze leze maiser oni, that means that you have two brothers, one is a man of means and the other is impoverished. So the man of means can use his meiser oni tithe. This is a 10% of one's produce that person separates on the third and sixth years of the 7-year sabbatical cycle. So in each one of these cases, one can use his meiser oni tithe to feed the other. So if you have, we'll focus on the relevant example for our discussion is avubno. So that it's saying, this source is saying, a son can take his meiser oni tithe and give it as feed, to feed his father with it, to give his father to drink. There's a person, you have to be aware before we go any further, that tithes are to be distributed in accordance with what they are and not be used to pay off your debts or your obligations. The Gemara continues, V'i Amris Michel Ben, if feed and drink provided to one's father must come out of the son's pocket, personal funds, as opposed to father's funds, how could it be then that the son, instead of using personal funds, is going to use Meiser Oni to fulfill this debt that he has to his father? Reading the Gemara again, the Iamris Michel Ben, Nimtza Ze Porea Chovoi Michel Aniyim. The result would be that the son is using a tithe due to the general public of the poor to pay off his own personal debt to his father that's supposed to come out of his own pocket. And as we said, you're not allowed to use tithes to pay off obligations that one may have, even if they're holy obligations. It still does not justify using a tithe. So at this point, the source would seem to indicate that the son, in terms of feeding his father or giving his father to drink, doesn't pay out of, to pay out of his own pocket. He would use his father's funds to cover those costs. In the event that his father is impoverished, so the son can use his miser oni tithe to feed his father, and in that way he's not paying with the miser oni a personal debt that he, the son, has. The Gemara, though, rejects this conclusion and says, Lo tzricha lehadofa. What this source is talking about when it says that the son can use miser oni to feed his father, that's after the son paid out of his own pocket the basic food and drink needs of his father. Once the son covered the basic food and drink needs of his father out of his own pocket, then he's entitled to use miser oni if the father wants to eat more than the norm. Rashi says, Lahadofa, we'll look at Rashi a few lines above. He says, Olav mutal lachilash goso midobeninus. The son's obligation is to provide the normal size meal for his father. If his father needs more than the norm, yachilenu meiser oni, then the son has a right to use meiser oni for that purpose. The Gemara continues with a question. Ihachi, if this is the explanation of the source of machilin zeze meiser oni, is you're talking about hadafa, then in a tone of wonderment we continue, hainu dikotoni Allah, should we then accept the brisa that continues concerning what we've just learned? Omer of Yudah, tavo me'ero l'mish machilis oviv meiser oni. Cursed be the one, tavo me'ero, cursed be the one that feeds his father meiser oni. V'ila dofa, if all that the son is doing is using the meiser oni for the hadofa, meaning the basic food and drink needs, the son is paying out of his own pocket. The use of the meiser oni, as you said above, is for hadofa. My nafka mina, why should there be any curse upon a son that does that? There's nothing wrong. Once the son is not paying off his personal debt of supporting his father through the meiser oni, that he's fulfilling out of his own pocket. And the hadofa and the meiser oni described above is only for hadofa. Why should the son be subject to a curse? The Gemara says, even so, afilu hachi means even so, zila be milsa. It's insulting for a son to use meiser oni to feed his father, even though it's only hadofa. And again, we have another volcano shape. With the narrow part facing up, we're going to try to show that Machilu Mashkeu is Michel Ben from the son's pocket. Toshma Shalis, Reb Elozer, Ad Hechon Kibud Avim. The question was asked of Reb Elozer, how far, to what extent, must one go to fulfill the mitzvah of honoring parents? Amar Lahem. So Reb Elozer answers, Kedei Sheitol Arniki Vizrukenu Liyam Befono V'eno Machlimoi. The extent would be where a father could take a wallet full of money, throw it into the sea, and the son does not insult him, doesn't embarrass him or insult him for doing that. The Amris Michel Av, if the support offered to parents is from the parents' own monies, my nafka le mine, what difference would it be to the son? Why should he be upset in the first place? How would this be a test of how far kibud aim goes? So rather, it must be that the support due to parents is from the son's own resources. And hence the illustration here is the father is taking the son's money and throwing it into the sea, and the son remains quiet. There is fulfillment of kibun aim. That would be, we'll call it, the extent. So, what do we see from here? In order to accept this as a limit, so to speak, as an extreme form of kibun aim, it would be understood only if we say that the support due to the father is out of the son's pocket. The Gemara says, not so. It could very well be out of the father's pocket. You'll ask then, how does the son's silence show any respect to the father? How is it a demonstration of respect? The Gemara says, "Biroi liyorsho." This is a son that would have been fit to inherit the father. So it's true, the father is throwing out his own money, but it's money that the son could have had his eyes on as a future inheritance. So in that sense, his remaining silent is an expression of honor, insofar as even though he's foregoing the future inheritance of these monies, he nevertheless remains silent. You notice we have a bracketed section. On the side, we have a note. Sograim elu, these brackets, einom l'shem diluk. They're not here for the purpose of skipping ahead, which is the reason we usually have brackets. Elo, so what's the reason we have brackets here? L'harois, shikra diyun istayim, that the main discussion has come to an end. She'le'olam Michel Av. At this point, we could conclude that support for parents' needs are from the parents' own bank accounts, own retirement fund. U'beroi liyorsho, and we're talking about a child that's in the position to inherit his parents. B'socha sugrayim haGemara dona b'prote ha'mais, within the brackets, the Gemara will analyze the details of the following incident. The Gemara continues, v'chiha derabo baravuna, and we after having mentioned the this concept of a son showing respect when the father is destroying something that would have been fit for the son to inherit. So an illustration of that is in the following story. The Rav Huna kora shiroi ba'anpi rabo brei. Rav Huna tore some silks, expensive fabric, expensive garment, in the presence of his son Rabo. Omar, Rav Huna said, Ezel, echsi irosach ilo rosach. I want to see if my son gets angry or not. The Gemara asks, how could Rav Huna put his son to such a test? V'dilma rosach, maybe the son will get angry. V'ko'ovar alif ne'ivr lo sitei michshol, and the father, Rav Huna, would have been presenting a stumbling block in front of his son. In other words, if the son gets angry at his father, so the son then will be in violation of kibud av eim. How can the father subject his son to such a test that would possibly cause him to fail and become guilty of violating the mitzvah? It's prohibited to put people up to a test. That's lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. So the Gemara says, the mochil le liakre. Rav Huna himself at the outset was willing to forego of the honor due to him. There's a Tosfos says at the lower part of the page, the mochale liakri v'tzorch lama shel dio kodim lachein shalei kamo niskav lecho basru chazir olu biyodu basar teled omer l'kam perik basro shesorch mechile v'kaporo. Tosfos is telling us that it most likely is a story where the father told the son ahead of time, listen, I'm foregoing on the honor due to me, that in the event that you should ever get angry at me, I don't mind. Because otherwise, you run into a situation where a person had intention to do a sin, and the example Tosfos cites is a person intended to eat some pork, and the meat that he ended up eating was kosher meat. But since he had intention to sin, that itself requires atonement. So as to obviate or forestall such a situation, Tosfos is suggesting that Rav Huna told his son, listen, told him at the outset, you know, in the event that you should ever get angry at me, I'm forgiving of any such affront. So he let it be known at the outset. The Gemara continues, V'ha ka'ovar mishum bal kashris. Is there not still another problem in this story, that this Rav Huna here is tearing up some valuable fabric, a valuable article of clothing, the shiroi? The Gemara says, that's not a problem here. De avad le befumbaini. He tore it along the seam, so it's easily repaired and there is no real loss. The problem of Baal Tashas is taking something of value and rendering it valueless, destroying it. But here, since he did it along the seam, the tearing along the seam didn't cause any real depreciation in the cloth, in the fabric or the garment. The Gemara says, "V'dilma mishum hachi lo rosach." Maybe it's because of this reason that the son did not get angry, so that there was no test that was accomplished to begin with. The Gemara says, "The ovad lay b'shas rischei." Rav Huna tore this garment when the son was angry anyway, so that it's most likely then that he wasn't paying attention to how the article was torn, and he was able to see whether this would increase the level of wrath on the part of the son. So then it would appear that this story illustrates that which we were taught in the source and the Gemara's interpretation or addition, that it's Roy Liorsho, where in this story, which was a parallel to the throwing of the wallet full of money into the sea, and we explained that it's was really the father's wallet full of money, and the son's honor was in light of the fact that the son would have inherited that money, and he nevertheless remained silent and did not insult his father. In this story too, Rav Huna was tearing his own valuable fabrics or garment, putting his son to the test, and the test being that he would remain silent, even though the fabrics and the garments torn would have been something that the son would have eventually inherited. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.